Sudan is Africa's largest nation and one of the world's poorest. There's evidence that the hardline Islamic government in the north is exploiting newly discovered oil fields in the south by using the revenue to step up its 18-year war with rebels in the non-Islamic south. The U.S. Congress has approved sanctions against oil companies working in Sudan because of widespread allegations of human rights abuses. NPR's Kenneth Walker prepared this report.
Thousands of women arrive at an international food distribution center in Thornyor, a village near the Nile in southern Sudan. The women are all from the Nuer tribe but represent many different clans. They wait patiently for three men to lift 40-pound sacks of grain onto their heads. The women then leave in lines, moving in all directions like spokes on a wheel. The majority of these women and their families used to live in villages about 40 miles to the north. The villages are in the heart of the newly discovered oil fields, and that presented a problem for the Sudanese government, which wants to protect and expand its oil facilities. So according to human rights groups, the government simply emptied the villages of their people by adopting a scorched earth policy that deliberately targets civilians. Khan Kwal Jalan is the chief of the village of Niedo. He says that most of his people were killed when they ignored government suggestions to move from Niedo, which sat on huge oil reserves. Jalan says the village was destroyed by government helicopter gunships and by hired mercenaries on horseback.
So he don't leave anybody. He killing is starting from infant, mother, and the father, people that are disabled, not able to run. So he's also firing them, he killed them. And then they tell us, frankly speaking, you must leave this oil field. So we the soldiers and the companies that run the work for the oil must remain here in this area. We don't need you. Either grazing land or whatever you wanted to do here, nothing. You have to go.
Chief Jalan, who managed to escape with about a dozen of Niedo's original 200 residents, is just one of thousands of southern Sudanese driven from their homes near oil fields. Only 3 years old, Sudan's oil industry has soared and is producing 250,000 barrels a day and $500 million a year in revenue. Many observers cite the government's doubling of military expenditures over the last 2 years as evidence that Khartoum is using the oil money to try to turn the tide against a rebel movement that has scored recent battlefield gains. Cesar Mozzolari, the Catholic bishop in this part of southern Sudan, is leading the call for international sanctions against oil companies that do business here. Mozzolari says he's witnessed the deployment of increasingly sophisticated government weaponry, including Russian-built Antonov bombers.
Up to now, it was a war between poor. We were poor in the south, they were poor in the north. It is no longer so. They have 26 helicopter gunships. They have half a dozen or maybe a dozen Antonov. They will become so rich that they will have the weaponry to destroy the south completely, and all the people either will have to leave or be buried under their soil.
The main rebel group in southern Sudan is the Sudanese People's Liberation Army, or SPLA. SPLA leader John Garang was welcomed to Nairobi with military honors along with several East African presidents for a meeting in June to explore the possibility of a peace agreement between the SPLA and the government in Khartoum. The talks went nowhere. Garang dismissed calls for a ceasefire in a war that has so far killed more than 1.5 million people and displaced millions more.
When Khartoum calls for a ceasefire, they will continue exploiting the oil. The oil is a killer in our situation, and so it got to stop until a final political settlement is reached.
Not surprisingly, oil has become a major part of the battlefield strategy for both sides. Onala Den, a senior SPLA official, was once a brigadier general in the government's army. Den says he switched sides because of pervasive discrimination against southerners within the Sudanese military. Den describes rebel plans for driving the government out of the south and finally ending the war.
If we move to the oil fields, for sure that will take us not less than a month or more than that, and they will all be out.
Most observers insist neither side can win this war. The rebels can continue to fight indefinitely because they have widespread support throughout the South. But if government oil revenues and military expenditures continue to rise, observers say the rebels will be outmatched in conventional warfare and they likely would be reduced to guerrilla operations. Kenneth Walker, NPR News, Thornure in southern Sudan.